We started a series called Strong Men in the Bible. I want to quickly move you into this. Men of God are called to be strong. That's what the Bible says. Men of God are called to be strong, but not necessarily ways that the world defines strength. Just for my own benefit, I looked up a couple records this week as it related to being strong. I found out, and this was just on Google as best as I could find, that the deadlift record is lifting 1,100 pounds. I saw a guy do that on a video, and then he passed out afterwards. 1,100 pounds deadlift. That's a lot. Bench press, 1,210 pounds. That's just insane. Do not try that at home. That would be like putting your refrigerator and your washer and your dryer on top of you and pushing them off, and it's probably a few pounds short. And then the one arm, just one arm curl, 135 pounds. You're like, oh, only 135? Try it. One arm, 135. But the good news is, that's not how God defines strength, right? Because I'm not going to be anywhere near that. And some of you, I'm just looking out, maybe some of you are close, but the guys I saw that were doing that, none of you look like them. I know you're like, I'm so deeply offended on Father's Day. Well, get over it. It's okay. So we're talking about being strong. Here's a verse that we talked about last week. Go ahead and bring the verse up. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be what? Be strong. So men, we're asking you to do this. And there are other ways in the Bible that talks about being strong. And last week, we introduced Joseph and said Joseph was strong because he resisted temptation. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I guarantee that for men, women, and children, boys and girls, teenagers are like, last week, some of you faced temptation, didn't you? Don't raise your hand. You faced it, and you needed to be strong like Joseph to refuse that. And so our next strong man is Joseph, or not Joseph, is Joshua. And ladies, as you come along for the ride on Father's Day, I want you to note two things with me. Ladies, please do this. First of all, the traits that we'll see in Joshua's life can be applied to yours. And the other thing is, ladies, you need to be praying for the men in your life. Husband, dad, grandfather, grandkids, nephew, you need to be praying that they become Joshuas. You don't pray for that in the meal in front of them because that's embarrassing in front of all the kids. God, I pray that you would take a hold of the wimp of a man that I have. As I lay before you this roast beef, God, take this man and make him a Joshua. That is not going to work. But in your prayer time, you need to be praying the traits of leadership that you're going to hear today and pray them that they come alive in your the men that are in your life. So ladies, you have a task today as well when we talk about strong men. I'd like you to take your Bibles with me. Turn to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Turn there, and here's the deal. This is what's going to happen today. It's going to be kind of fun. We're going to be in four books of the Bible. Incredible, right? Nobody said anything. All right, we're going to be in four books of the Bible. The good news is we're going to kind of go from left to right. So find Genesis. And you can, and once you're there, then make your way to Numbers, and we're going to work right in that section. We're going to be in Exodus, and then Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. But we're in that section, so can you at least find that section for me? And that's where we're going to be. So we're going to start off in Numbers chapter 27. It's kind of our key verse. And in verse 18, it says this. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. This is towards the end of Moses' life, and God has says, I'm going to appoint a successor to take your place, Moses. I want you to pick Joshua. So it's very clear here that Joshua was a man who was strong in leading. He had the spirit of leadership. And his leadership did not surface after the death of Moses. His leadership was evident throughout his entire life. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a quick survey of Joshua's life and look into those times when he exhibited those leadership traits. We know according to the Bible that Joshua lived to be 110. He lived to be 110. And in Numbers chapter 11, verse 28, I'm going to read this for you. It says, Joshua the son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since his youth. So in that verse, it tells us that Moses and Joshua had a relationship that was ongoing. It's interesting that many scholars believe that Joshua spent the first 20 years of his life in Egypt. That's where he was born, and that's where he lived the first 20 years. So Moses, most likely, before they left Egypt, saw something in Joshua, saw some leadership traits, some leadership abilities in Joshua, and brought him along for this journey and said, Joshua, I'd like you to be my assistant right from the beginning. So the idea of these leadership qualities started right early on. So I'm just encouraging, men, if you're in your 60s or 70s, you can lead. 30s, 40s, 50s, you can lead. If you're a teenager, you can lead. In your 20s, you can lead. Joshua started early on. If I missed your age group, you can just slot that in, 70s, 80s, and beyond. If you're 110, God bless you, okay? So we're going to begin to unfold these leadership traits. We're going to do them rather quickly. And like I said, we're going to start kind of in the left part of your Bible, so to speak, and then move our way. So I'd like you to take with me your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus. And then from now on, we'll move, just kind of keep going to your right. So Exodus chapter 17, in just a moment we're going to read verse 9, but Exodus chapter 17, I need to set the stage for the beginning of seeing what's happening in Joshua's life. He's probably 20 years old when they leave Egypt. So when we get to Exodus chapter 17, they have just left Egypt. Had this great thing with the plagues, remember that? The plagues and crossing the Red Sea, all that's taking place. So he's 20 years old. It's 40 days out from Egypt. 40 days is as far as they've traveled. And now they're going to encounter a group of people that are strange to us today. They're called the Amalekites. And if you spend any time in the Old Testament, there are a lot of ites. Jebusites. Parasite? No, that's a different one. Canaanites. There's lots of these different ites in there. There were enemies of Israel. So they are only 40 days out from freedom, and they come to this point, and they encounter the Amalekites. And so it says in verse 9 of chapter 17, Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Then it continues on in this section, and it says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And then it says, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. This begins the pattern of leadership in Joshua's life. I put in your outline, strong man tactics for leading. Here's the first one. Joshua was willing to accept a difficult challenge. I want to see if you were paying attention. Approximately how old was Joshua when he helped to attack the Amalekites? 20. Their first battle out of the gate against the Amalekites, Moses looks around to all the fighting men that he has, and he says, oh, I'll take that 20-year-old. We have some 20-somethings in our church, and we love them, but we're not sure we're going to have them lead the battle. Maybe we are. But can you imagine? I don't know if Joshua expected that, but Moses is looking around. All right, I need somebody to put together a team to go deal with the Amalekites. How about you, Joshua? Me? Yes! So he took on a difficult challenge. And men, you're going to face challenges in your life. The challenges are going to change as your season of life changes. But all the men in this room, you will face challenges. You're going to face relationship challenges, marriage challenges. We face marriage challenges, right? You're going to face ethical challenges, financial challenges, physical challenges, moral challenges, emotional challenges, and spiritual challenges. And a strong man is willing to take on a difficult challenge. Does this church need strong men? Absolutely. Men who said, listen, the Amalekites are out there. Bring them on. I'm going to take the challenge because you will face that, gentlemen, and so will I. And so we need to be ready to take on the challenge with God's strength and glorify God with our lives and lead people closer to Him. I'm just saying the church, our church, and churches across the world need more men who are willing to take up challenges. And ladies, that's where you're supposed to say, amen. I'll allow you on that one. And the idea is, was this going to be simple? No, it was going to be difficult. So Joshua was willing to take up a difficult challenge. Now there's another trait. We're going to keep moving on. So you're in the book of Exodus, correct? So we're just moving a little bit to the right. Go to Exodus chapter 33. As you're turning to Exodus 33, you can see the reference behind me. Setting it up here. Now they have been away from Egypt for close to a year. So Joshua's been traveling with them for about a year. They get to Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, you get the Ten Commandments, God coming down, that whole thing happening. And so they're near Sinai, near the mountain. And here's what happens. It's very interesting. I studied this verse this week and found it, and I thought it was very interesting in the life of Joshua. Joshua, or Exodus 33:11. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. That's pretty cool, right? Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. At this point, in the Jewish economy, so to speak, or in their travels, they did not have the tabernacle yet. So everybody had a tent, their own tent. Moses had a tent. And there would be times when God's glory would come down in the tent as Moses went in, and God and Moses would worship together. That was really cool. And whenever the people saw that, they would go to their tents and begin to worship. But it says in verse 11, when Moses left the tent, who stayed behind? Joshua, what's he doing? I'll tell you why he stayed. Here's another leadership quality. He loved the presence of God more than he loved the recognition of people. See you, Moses. I'll catch up with you later. Moses, Joshua, what are you doing? I just need to stay because this is where God was. A leader enjoys the presence of God. Joshua's like, I'll catch up with you later, Moses, but for right now, I want to enjoy the presence of God. Strong men enjoy the presence of God over the recognition of people. Fame and popularity were right there for Joshua's taking. I can see him. After the cloud lifts and Moses makes his way back to the tent, guess who everybody's going to be watching? Moses. Because he just had his encounter with God. So I can see Joshua. I would be me. I'd be right next to him. Yeah, I was there. God came again. You guys are in your tent, but I was right there. Man, look at me. Joshua, he picked me. Woo! When Moses returned to the tent, Joshua stayed. Because men, you and I both know that the recognition and the accolades of people will fade, right? Compliments only last so long. Right, men? But the presence of God is where it's at. I have discovered this, my own opinion, but I've discovered this. I believe that really strong men always have an ego. They do. But strong men of God also realize, not only that they have a strong ego, they also realize that their identity is found in the presence of God. That's the true definition of a strong man. A strong man will have an ego, but ultimately he understands his identity is found in the presence of God. So men, let's linger a little bit longer in the presence of God. Men, in our lives, do we spend time in the presence of God? Do we spend time in worship and these other things? Do we spend time getting to know God? That is going to be your best source for leading. Because if we lead off of popularity, guess what? Your points may fluctuate. Wouldn't it be interesting if, this would not be interesting, it would actually be very discouraging, if we set up in our homes like approval point ratings, like they do for the president. You could walk in the door and there's just this big sign up there and you see whether your number went up or down. You're like, oh, wow, what did I forget today? Ladies, don't do that. It's not a Father's Day gift. That would be difficult. But I'm just here to say, if you lead off the presence of God, that number is not going to matter so much, but I will say this, that number probably is going to go up if you're leading from the presence of God and who he is. Joshua did that. It's so cool that he stayed. So continue to turn with me. We're in Exodus. We're going to skip Leviticus for right now because that's something that's tough to go through. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers chapter 14 is look at his next trait. Remember, we're tracing the life of Joshua. We see what happened right before they went into the promised land, about a year before they go in. Numbers chapter 14. When we get to Numbers 14, here's the context. Basically, one calendar year has passed. It's been a whole year since they've left Egypt, and they're still in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but I'm not that fond of sand. It's been a whole year. You with me? It's been a whole year, and you left Egypt because you heard rumor mill, you heard there was a land coming. So it's 1 year. And so in Numbers chapter 14, God tells Moses, send 12 men out to spy out the land that I'm going to send you in. Send 12 men in there and have them come back with a report. And so Joshua is one of these 12. 10 of them come back and they say this, the land is really good. The people are really big. The land is wonderful. The cities are strong. This is a beautiful place, and this is what they basically say, the 10 men. God can't do it. Excuse me? God can't do it. And their voice was so loud that it says in Numbers that a bunch of people said, we wish we would have died in Egypt. What? Then a bunch of other ones said, well, we're not in Egypt anymore. I wish we'd just die out here. What? And then there were some really crazy ones who said, let's pick a new leader. There's a verse that says, let's pick a new leader and go back to Egypt. I don't know what they're on, but wow. So this is the setting. 10 of them say, we cannot go back in. And then you pick up in verse 6. Here's the response of Joshua as a leader. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb were among those who had explored the land. When they heard what the people said, they tore their clothes, which means they were visibly upset, and said to the entire Israel assembly, the land we possess through and explored is exceedingly good. Well, we said that. We agree with you. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So Joshua's like, what is your problem? In the Hebrew, what is your problem? This is a good land. God will lead us. God will protect us. Let's go in. And then it says in that next verse, the whole assembly talked about stoning them. That's a bad day. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back and be slaves. Oh, we just died. What is your problem? Let's go in. Hey, guys, lots of rocks out here. We're in the wilderness. Let's get rid of these guys. So here is a leadership trait. Men, we better have this, that comes out in the life of Joseph. Joseph was willing to stand up for what's right, even though it was counterculture. I think Moses was with him, maybe a few others, but the majority of the crowd said, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Stand still so we can hit you. Stop moving around. Men, you're going to need to stand up for what's right, even though it was counterculture. Now, when you read the rest of the story, I want to tell you this. It doesn't go well for the complainers. The rest of the story says that all the men that were 20 and over didn't make it out of the wilderness because they led the complaining and the rebelling. Only Joshua and Caleb made it in because they said, we can do this. But I want to challenge us now more than ever. Doesn't our church, our churches, and our culture need strong men who are willing to stand up for what's right? We do. Men, stand up for the values of Scripture. Stand up for your marriage. Stand up for your ethics. Stand up for your values. Even when the culture says it doesn't matter, it does. We need strong men like Joshua. I want to say this to you. Culture does not define your leadership, but it certainly will challenge it. Did you hear me? Culture does not define your leadership, but it certainly will challenge it. We need men who will stand up and do what is right, even when it's counterculture. Here's a quote I found. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. If I stand up for what's right, some people might have a problem with it. So what? Men, be strong leaders. Was it easy for Joshua? There's no way it was easy. I mean, there were throngs of people saying, we want to go back. And then they're picking up stones. It's like, what is going on here? No, we believe that God has given us this land. So we're continuing. Halfway through these traits, we'll move through quickly here. Joshua was a man who was willing to stand up for what's right. Keep moving in your Bibles. Now from Numbers to Deuteronomy. Next one over, Deuteronomy chapter 3. Remember, we talked about right at the beginning of the journey, then about 40 days in, then about a year in. So now when we get to Deuteronomy chapter 3, sorry about this fast forward, but we can do this because we're kind of like live here. We're not on a TV program. We're going to go 40 years into the future. When you get to Deuteronomy chapter 3, it's 40 years later from when Joshua said, we're going to take this land. 40 years of wandering. Moses has led the people and Joshua has been by his side. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28. Moses is not being allowed to enter into the promised land. So it says in Deuteronomy 3:28, God says this to Moses, commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead his people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. Interesting to me. You may have missed this. Here's a leadership trait we need. Joshua exhibited long-term leadership. How many years did I say passed? 40 years. 40 years he was by Moses' side, I think, continuing to be a leader. I believe that Joshua was a leader in Egypt. I think he was a leader before they went into the land. I think he was a leader in the wilderness, and you're going to find out he was a leader after they entered into the promised land. His whole life, he tried to be a long-term leader. Men, starting off early in your teens or your 20s, or whether you're trying to finish well, we need strong, long-term leadership. We have teachers in our church, and one of the things that teachers enjoy is tenure. Is that still a thing? Tenure is pretty cool. That's one thing teachers are looking for. Yes? All right. So, men, I want to say to you, God is looking for long-term leaders that he can tenure, that put in year after year after year of strong leadership. If I had time with your young person or your college-age student, I'd say, listen, God wants you to be a strong leader, and he wants you to be a strong leader for the long haul. Yes? Men, take that example. Lead when it's popular and when it's not. Lead when it's easy and lead when it costs you something. Lead day in and day out. Lead consistently, men. Lead consistently. Long-term leadership. Churches don't need men who lead for a month. Homes don't need men who lead for a month. God's church and God's families, God's homes, God's relationships need men who lead long term. Joshua is an example. So, last two are found in the book of Joshua. He's been 40 years in the wilderness. Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Moses has died. Joshua is in charge. So now let's see. We've seen some of his leadership traits, but Moses, his kind of the guy he's in the shadow of, is out of the way. Moses is not there anymore. So let's see if this guy's going to keep going. So Joshua chapter 1, like I said, Moses has died. It's been 40 years since he made that statement, God will bring us in this land. Is that a long time? Yeah. Remember back when, Joshua? Okay, he's probably 60 years old right now. 60 years old. Verse 10 of chapter 1. Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Wow, sounds like a deja vu 40 years later. He's 60 years old. Folks, get your stuff together. We're done in the wilderness. Getting rid of that manna. We're going in. And then it says in chapter 3, verse 5, there's not a page number, just turn over there to chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua told the people, this is after the 3 days. He said, get your stuff ready for 3 days. The 3 days has elapsed. Now we're going in. It says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The Lord will do amazing things among you. Here's the leadership trait of Joshua that men we need to have. Joshua expected to see God's power displayed. Sometimes men get a little bit concerned because they think church is kind of too feminine. You know, we decorate and we sing about loving Jesus, and sometimes we sing about emotions that men don't like to talk about. And I understand that. But guys, I'm just telling you right here and right now, Joshua said, we are going. get your swords, get your stuff, do your push-ups. We are going in, and let's see what God is going to do. That is masculine to the hilt, gentlemen. The most manly thing you can do as a man of God, as a strong man of God, is to say, God, I want to see your power. Yes, men? We settle way too much for, oh, you know, we'll let the ladies worry about touching the power of God and bringing Jesus here. No. Ladies, thank you for doing that. But men, do we expect to see the power of God? Do you lead anticipating God's power to be at work? Do you have people in your life? Do you have people in your life who need Jesus Christ and you're asking God through his power to lead you to them? Are you? I have never felt more strong in my life than in the last couple months when God allowed me to lead my former neighbor who was in a great crisis to Jesus Christ, and he's been coming in and reading his Bible. I've felt more strength then than I have in a long time. And it's not because I've gone to the gym. It's because I knew I didn't have one thing to do with that. God brought him through his power into my life, and he said, I want Jesus. And I stepped back and said, whoa, this is incredible. And guys, guess what? Joshua said, I want to see God's wonders among you. Do we do that? Guys, some of you need to step out of your comfort zone and go on a missions trip or try out a new ministry. Go into the jails. Do something. And you're like, well, no way. Yeah, way. You know why? Because you need to see it's God at work, not just us. Great men will lead. Here's a quote from William Carey. If you want to expect great things from God, then attempt great things for God. Well, I don't really see God's power at work. What are you doing? Nothing much. Well, you got exactly what you invested. Joshua said, we're going in. Last one. Joshua chapter 24. Last leadership trait here. Then I'm going to wrap up with a couple Father's Day observations here. Joshua chapter 24. It's the end of Joshua's life. Chronology-wise, here we go. Has he been a leader all his life? I really do believe he has. He's had wonderful leadership traits. He spent 20 years in Egypt, okay? And then he spent 40 years in the wilderness. That's 60, and then he spent 50 years conquering the land and also distributing the land because he's 110 in Joshua 24. It's the end of his life. And it says in Joshua 24, 14 and 15, his final words to the people. He said, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And he says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Final leadership trait. And I think as I'm studying, sometimes things go into my mind and I'm like, okay, why am I even thinking this? But I was thinking, did Joshua even realize that he probably created the most often wall hanging of all times in people's homes? Did you realize he's going to be like, that all these different companies like Hobby Lobby have just made a killing on his statement? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No disrespect, ladies, but you know who said that? A man. A man's man. It wasn't some woman saying, wipe your feet before you come in because this is my house. Joshua said, listen up. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. His final leadership trait, Joshua, see? I shouldn't have two J's 2 weeks in a row. Not helpful. Joshua was not afraid to draw a legacy line in the sand. Legacy line. Men, you should be drawing a legacy line. You know what your legacy line should look like? You draw it and go, listen, truth matters. Integrity matters. Faithfulness matters. Service matters. God matters. You know who should be drawing that line in our churches and in our homes? Who should be drawing that line? Men. Ladies, no disrespect. You can draw your own lines. That's fine. But I'm saying men, strong men, step up and say, we're going to draw the line. We're going to draw the line. This last slide, go ahead. Well, not last slide, but slide here, go ahead. That's the whole list. Joshua had lots of different things, ways that he was a leader. Men, we can learn from him. But it is Father's Day, so I'm going to give you quick three responses to Father's Day, ways that I think men can be strong leaders specifically. Okay, men, you ready for this? This is for the dads in the room, and just to help you out here, because I want to give you some practical things. Three ways that fathers can be strong, and you can also implement these traits of Joshua. Here's the first thing. Loving your wife is one way that fathers can be strong. Loving your wife, gentlemen, is a test of your masculinity. Real men love their wives. What does that mean? Well, it might mean that whole date night thing that somebody handed you in an envelope, you actually do it. Oh. Pam and I went out yesterday, and I remembered to put it in my pocket. Because she said, you have that envelope? I'm like, right here, dear. And we went to just a little Waffle House, and just not IHOP. Went to a different Waffle House. I'm not putting down Waffle, IHOP, whatever. We went to We went over that. We had a good time. It wasn't long. Guess who was supposed to take the lead on that? Me. Guess who read the questions? Me. Why? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Guys, love your wife. Do a little date night thing. That little date night newsletter that came on the computer, maybe you should read it. Maybe you should have her be a part of that. Guys, you want to love your wife? Get help when you need it. Pray for your wife. Pray with your wife. There's lots of different ways. Strong men, strong dads, love their wives. Take Joshua as an example. Here's the second one. Dads, spiritually guide your family. Strong fathers spiritually guide their family. This is directly tied into Joshua. Joshua drew a line in the sand, did he not? So every once in a while, Dad, you maybe need to speak up about truth. Maybe you need to speak up about values. Maybe you need to speak about things that are God things in your home. Would that be okay, Dad? Would that be okay for Dad to actually mention the Bible every once in a while? And not just because you want the kids to get in trouble. If your only verse you quote in your home is, children, obey your parents, you need to expand. Dads, I mean, listen, guys, dads, if the only two verses you know are children obey your parents and wives submit to your husbands, you really need to expand. Spiritually guide your family. Does your family know that you care about spiritual things? Strong men do that. And then lastly, engage the church. Strong dads engage the church. How do they do that? They attend. Strong men go to church. Yes, they do. All the men in here, you can give yourself a soft-spoken amen to yourselves for being here. Strong men attend church. That's a crisis. I don't know if you know that. That's a crisis around the world. We've visited churches around the world, and we find churches that are 80% women. Again, no offense, ladies, but where are the men? So men, show up. If someone asks you, what do you do Sunday morning? Do you mow the lawn on Sunday morning? No, I go to church. What? Yeah, I'm a strong man. Yeah, at the water cooler. You got a problem with that, buddy? I go to church. I mean, I don't care. You can make it a thing. Go right ahead. What do you do on Sundays? Why? I go to church first. Really? Really? You go to church? You need to go to church? Yeah, I do, because I'm a strong man. I'm a strong dad. Worship together. Serve together. Guys, engage the church. That's what strong men do. So, we need to wrap it up. Joe, you can come on up. Hey, where are all the men in the church? Where are all the men? Raise your hand. Yeah. Listen, you can put them down. Men, I want you. You can come on up, Joe. Men, take the challenge to go out there and be Joshua's. Would you do that? Come on, you need to walk out of church a little bit like, yeah. I mean, because sometimes you walk out and you're like, oh, God, whatever. So when you get your pen today and your notebook, go out today and go, I'm going to be a Joshua. I don't know what else to say to you people. Come on. You need to do that. Be Joshua. We need strong men in our church. Why don't you stand, Joe? Why don't you dismiss the ladies and the strong men? All right? Why don't you stand together?